Good morning. Is there any parish's notice to be brought forth this morning? Well, if we have none, let's prepare ourselves for morning worship. Jesus, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Be with us, guide us, and direct us. Open our hearts and our minds to the message. And be with Terry as he gives the message in the sermon today. Guide and direct each and every one of us and open our hearts. We ask that this is done in your precious and holy name. We pray. Amen. Okay, let us stand for the opening hymn. Well, sorry. Gather to me, my faithful ones. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. God gives us the kingdom." God speaks and summons us to worship. Okay, our opening hymn. I love to tell the story, hymn number 156. Thank you. greet your neighbors. Pass the peace. We have the children come forward for children time.
Good morning. I appreciate the Spieth kids for coming down and helping me out this morning. Do you guys know what time of year it is? We've had fall, winter, spring. What is it next? Summer. It's summertime. And we can kind of tell it here in church this morning, can't we? It's summertime. Do you like summer? I like summer because it's a time when we can play ball outside, when we can maybe ride our bikes, maybe go shopping a little more, yeah. Maybe grill out and have hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill. It's a fun time. Do you know what else we do in the summertime? Maybe you've already taken it. Maybe you're getting prepared to take it. A trip, a vacation. Summertime's a time for vacations. Do you know what a vacation is? What's a vacation? Isn't it a time when we plan a day away, maybe a long day away, or maybe several days to put together? It's a time where grown-ups can take off of work and spend time with their family and do something for fun. Or maybe sometimes we take a working vacation where we might take care of paint a room or paint a house or do something like that. What's a long vacation? Do we know what's a long vacation? You taking any long vacations? No? Maybe a long vacation might be Disney World or a beach somewhere, maybe Myrtle Beach, or maybe you've been lucky enough your family's got to go to California and see that beach. Or it could be just a short vacation. What might be a short vacation? Maybe a day at the zoo, the Fort Wayne Zoo. Maybe it went to Grandpa and Grandma's for a couple of days. Maybe it's to aunts and uncles for a couple of days. A vacation is something where we go out of our regular routine and spend time together as a family. But do you know that there's someone who never, ever takes a vacation? They never, ever take a vacation. That's God. God never takes a vacation from loving you and loving me. He never takes a vacation from watching over us and protecting us and providing for our needs. So when we go on vacation, we want to be sure to take God with us on vacation because he's always going to be there because he doesn't go on vacation. He's there 24/7 for us. So let's remember as we go out and have fun the rest of this summer that we take God with us. Okay? Let's just share a word of prayer here. Father, we just thank you for summertime and for the time of relaxation that we can spend with our families. We just ask that you be with these young people here as they spend the rest of their summer. And we ask that you provide protection over all our families who are on vacation and having a time of renewal and refreshment in you. We just ask that you be with us the rest of our summer as we prepare to do your work. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, we have our... We don't want to get out of a routine here. So you can have one. And what do we do with the other one? Give it to someone else and tell them Jesus loves them. Would one of you want to help with the mic? Mason. I don't know the boys between the two. So Mason is going to help us out today with the mic.
This here's our time of joys and concerns. If you have any joys, birthdays, anniversaries, or if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life today. So Nathan's going to bring the mic around.
I have a joy, just like December, we have a week full of birthdays. My daughter Renee's was Friday, Marie's daughter Jenny's is today, and Marie's granddaughter Lexi was last Wednesday, and I do have an unspoken concern.
I'm going to bring this to your attention. I ask for your prayers and stuff. Of course, you know Jean's in the hospital up at Hearth and Home, but she's doing well. I've seen her last night, and she's getting along real well and has no pain or anything, so thank God for that. But this week I also got a call from her sister-in-law's daughter that lives in Michigan, would be her brother's wife. I talked to her about last Monday, I think it was, and 2 days later her daughter called me and told me she had died. So she's 90, either 91 or 93 years of age, but she's been getting along real well, but it was kind of unexpected. She got sick, and her daughter was taking her to the doctor's office, and all of a sudden she had trouble getting her breath and things, so she just changed the direction, took her to the emergency room, and apparently she didn't even last very long from there. So keep her in your prayers and stuff. Also, I got a call from my son yesterday afternoon late, and his father-in-law, Clayton Springer, I know plus maybe a few of you might know him, but he passed away, and I don't know what the arrangements are for that or not, because it was too early, but he didn't know. But you can keep I'd appreciate it if you keep all the families in your prayers. Thank you.
I got just a little joy. As you see, I'm up here, and I've asked the Lord and everything, you know, to show me what I could do to on this earth to please Him. And as you can see, He put me up here, so just kind of bear with me. And but I'll tell you, I couldn't live my life without Him today. It's really something to have Him on your side. And I also have a concern. Gina's mom, my ex, she is in Parkview right now. And they don't know if it's going to be Monday or Tuesday, but she's got 6 blockages. And they're going to do surgery. And they got to get to things. She was over at Lima Memorial last Thursday and Friday, and they decided that let her out for a while, and then she had chest pains yesterday when they was up in Fort Wayne, so they just took her on over to Parkview. So have your prayers for Gina. She's going through a lot, you know, and she's got this on her mind now and putting more stress on her. So thank you. Let's bow our heads in silent prayer. Loving God, thank you for hearing our silent prayers. Now increase our faith as we lift up the prayers that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. All right, our opening hymn is hymn 454, Please Stand. Open my eyes that I may see.
It's always nice that, there's a mic. It's always nice that people go on vacation. Then you get one of us. And sometimes it's a real treat. You get out earlier. But I got 25 pages up here that I think I can last for a couple hours. The sermon title is Be Prepared for the Tough Questions. What would you say to someone if they asked you, why do you believe in God? That's a pretty tough question. Most people couldn't answer it. Our verse, our section of scripture this morning is from 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. And Peter explains how we should go about explaining our faith to other people, to other non-believers. You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Why should we do this? Because souls of men lie in the balance of eternity. What if no one told you? Our ability to soundly answer the questions of others seeking to discover God can make a difference in where one spends eternity. This verse, or these verses, offer some important commands to God's children. We should make it personal. We, as Christians, should worship Christ in our own life. You cannot teach somebody or tell somebody what you don't possess yourself. Worship is giving your mind's attention, your heart's affection, and life's ambitions fully to the Lord. It's knowing God and making Him known through words and actions. Always be ready to explain it. I'm often amazed at how little some Christians know about their own faith. We don't have cults in this area, but there are some cults in the world that those people, they're ready to explain their false doctrine. But we as Christians, it's hard for us to explain our own faith to others. If you don't care about what you believe and why, then you have a good reason to doubt your own salvation. We're called to understand what we believe and why. If someone asks you how to become a Christian, could you tell them? If someone asked what God is like, could you describe Him? A little boy was drawing a picture. His kindergarten teacher asked what he was drawing. He said he was drawing a picture of God. She said, "But no one knows what God looks like." He answered, "They will when I'm done." Make it easy to digest. Do this in a gentle and respectful way. Yes, we're to know what we believe, but we must also learn how to communicate it. Attitude is everything. How you say what you say is as vital as what you say. Now, if my wife was here, she could explain what I just said. You might be thinking, what did Peter mean when he said, when you should, or in verses 15 and 16, be respectful, be gentle. When you consider what's at stake, it should make you shudder. You may be the person's only shot at salvation. You may be the only Jesus this person will ever see. What about the people who've never heard about Jesus? Should God be fair in those instances? Is God fair? In Genesis 18:25, it states, "Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right? He is the rock. His work is perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he? That's from Deuteronomy 32. God will never condemn someone for rejecting Jesus they've never heard of. That's not fair. But let me assure you, when the facts are in, no one will accuse God of being unfair, because he'll have given every person a chance, some way, somehow. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose in all of this was that the nations should seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. That's from Acts. Wherever you were born, God placed you there. From Ohio to Florida, God made no mistake about where people are born. Furthermore, God has created the circumstances to point the way to him. His deepest desire is to connect with you. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want to lose anyone. He's given everyone space and time to change. God's doing everything he can to redeem his creation. He's holding out until he can hold out no longer, because God's deepest desire is to connect with his creation. Most people's problem isn't discovering God, it's deciding to discover him. To be honest, the bulk of humanity is just doing their thing, unconcerned about eternity. In Jeremiah 29, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." If you'll notice, there's no geographical, gender, or religious boundaries. Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior. He died for all and is available to all. For God so loved the world includes everyone. Christianity is extremely inclusive. Jesus loves everybody and died for sin. The only thing exclusive about Christianity is that God provided a single Savior, Jesus. Wherever you live and whatever you've done, anyone seeking God will find him. Now, I grew up in a Baptist church in Indiana, and we had missionaries that came to our church. And one of the fellows was from India, and he had Hindu parents, or he was raised as a Hindu person. Now, deep down, he felt something was missing. He couldn't put his finger on it. He didn't know any missionaries. He didn't have a Bible. Months later, there was a Bible laying along the road as he was walking to work one day. He read it from cover to cover, and he met Jesus. He invited him into his heart as his personal Savior, and his parents rejected him. Nobody's going to be excluded from heaven because they've never heard of Jesus, because God is fair. He is within reach, and he can be found by those who seek him. Yet some people will be denied admittance to heaven because they've told God they don't want or need him. And when they stand before God, he will simply honor their decision to live apart from him for all eternity. There is nothing unfair about that. Most importantly, when you stand before God, the subject won't be about the people who've never heard. It'll be about you. What did you do with what you knew? The Bible is clear. To believe is life, while to deny the truth is death. Excuse me. There's an old story about six men brought to see an elephant. The first man, touching the elephant's side, it's like a wall. The second man touched his tusk. It's like a spear. The third man holding the trunk, it's like a snake. The fourth man embraced the leg. It's like a tree. The fifth man holding the ear, it's like a fan. The sixth man holding the tail, it's like a rope. The concept is that each man is correct so long as he is touching the elephant. The idea is all denominations lead to God. Just pick one. Sadly, many people think that the different denominations are different roads to God. If you're going to take a trip from LA to New York, there are many ways to get there. All you have to do is grab a map and pick a route. You can take a southern route, central, or northern route. You can drive a car, ride a bike, jump a train, fly an airplane. As long as New York is your goal and you follow the map, you will get there. We value broad-mindedness. We live in a culture of tolerance, and we tend to think we should never be belligerent toward those who sincerely believe differently. It doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're wrong. Sincerity in religion has no advantage if a person is worshiping a non-existent God. People who are members of the Flat Earth Society can certainly believe that the earth is flat, but their belief will never change. The fact that the earth is round. I can believe that my pickup is a twin turbo Porsche, but I'm not expecting to wake up in the morning and find that thing in the garage. A man can sincerely believe a gun is loaded. It won't change the effect of pulling the trigger if the gun is loaded. You can paint wings on a pig, call it a bird, toss it off a cliff, it's not going to fly. The point is, the issue is truth, not sincerity. Truth operates independent of feelings and desires. The thrust of the Bible is never on blind belief, but rather the object of belief. The way to God isn't a matter of opinion, but a matter of fact. Only Jesus died for our sin. Back in the 1960s, there was a poll. 84% of Americans agreed that absolute truth exists. 26% today. Even in the church, 51% do not believe that truth exists. Think about it. Everybody can't be right. Christianity claims there is one God who exists in three persons. Muslims and Jews disagree. They believe God is indivisibly one. Hinduism claims that everything is God. You're God, I'm God, my dog is God. And that Islam claims that Jesus was not a God and that he didn't die for the sins of humanity. Buddha was noncommittal about the existence of God, kind of agnostic. We may all be wrong, but we all can't be right. Thing is, Jesus didn't just claim to know the only way to God. He said he was God. He said, I am the only way to God. In John 14, 5 and 6, Thomas said, I'll meet you there. We haven't any idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I don't believe Jesus said that out of arrogance or ignorance, but rather out of great compassion. He wasn't on a head trip. His heart was bleeding for humanity. In John 3:36, all who believe in God's Son have eternal life. Those who don't obey the Son will not experience eternal life, but the wrath of God remains on them. So, So the question is Christianity a lie? Is it a legend? Is Jesus a legend? Would you agree that Jesus was a good moral teacher? How could he be a good moral teacher if he was lying about what he was preaching? How could he be a good moral teacher if he lied about his own identity? Fact is, he claimed to be more than a good moral teacher. He claimed to be God. Are you the Son of God then? The Pharisees asked him. Yes, I am. They said, what further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Even his enemies accepted his claim to be the Son of God. At his trial before Pilate, the priests and temple guards shouted to Pilate, crucify him. Pilate said, I find him not guilty. The Jewish leaders replied, by our laws, he should be put to death because he called himself the Son of God. Jesus is the only man in history to ever be executed for his claim rather than his crime. Perhaps he just thought he was God, a bright guy who got a little confused. A nut job that would claim to be equal with God, and yet that's exactly what Jesus claimed. So the Jewish leaders tried all the more to kill him. In addition to disobeying the Sabbath rules, he spoke of God as his Father, thereby making himself equal to God. Jesus didn't exhibit any of the abnormalities or imbalance that go with someone being deranged. He always acted with composure and consistency. He was never out of control. He spoke the most profound words ever recorded. Was Jesus a legend? Perhaps this Jesus guy was just a legend, a fictitious figure manufactured by those who come before us, a cruel practical joke. In the past few years, there's been a push for people trying to persuade us that the Holocaust never existed. And that's just a hoax, or that was just a hoax. Is Jesus then a hoax? The historians would say adamantly no. Jesus is certainly a historical figure. Roman, Jewish, and Christian historians testify to his life, teachings, and death. There is no doubt that Jesus walked this earth some 2,000 years ago. So, was Jesus a liar? Was he a lunatic? A legend? Or was he just the Son of God? Those are a bunch of choices that some people will try to, when you explain your faith to them, they'll try to steer you away from your own beliefs. But which is more probable? The Bible says that sooner or later, everyone will agree, sooner is better than later. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you willing to bet your eternal destiny that those words are not true? Think about it. It's not a good bet. Either Jesus is the only way to God, or he isn't. Let me assure you, you don't want to be undecided on this issue. Chances are 50-50 that Jesus is who he says he is. If he is and you believe and receive, you win. You lose nothing. If he isn't and you believe, you still lose nothing. You see, a betting man would opt to believe because it's the only choice that ends in a win-win. Let's take this one step further. Let's say that all religions lead to eternal life. You choose Christ, you win. But if Christ is the only way and you opt for Hinduism, you lose big time. If Hinduism turns out to be right, you lose nothing because the Christian lifestyle will get you reincarnated. Amen.
it's time to show our love for God with our morning offering. Closing hymn today is hymn 369, Blessed Assurance. by the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever.